Let's call to order the Monday, September 30th meeting of the Mount Pleasant Town Council Transportation Committee. I want to welcome everybody this morning. Our agenda is before you. Item number one is approval of the minutes from the August 5th meeting. Is there a motion?
So moved.
We have a second. The chair will second. All in favor? Any discussion? All in favor of approval of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Item number two is public comments. If you're a member of the public and would like to address us, please come to the lectern and give your name and address in 2 minutes, please. Thank you, George.
I know. Hey, man, what's going on?
You're a pro at that by now.
Good morning. George Freeman, 1450 Bowman Road, Director of Community Activity for CAGE. I'm here, I think it's number two on your agenda, where you're going to discuss the intersection of Brickyard with respect to the Highway 41 widening. The reason I'm here is because the solution to the widening of Highway 17, or the improving the traffic on Highway 17 in this area, was given out 13 years ago between the city and the county and the citizens in the area. Over the years, the town has implemented parts of it, but for some reason, no one wants to implement the part from Long Point Road to Highway 41. If that part is implemented, all of this problem goes away, because once Billy Swills Boulevard is completed, you will have a frontage road on both sides of Highway 17 if this is implemented. And for the life of us, I'm talking about members of CAGE and those in the 7 Mile community, we cannot understand why here it is 13 years later, that part is not implemented, and now we're hearing something about widening Highway 17 again. And as far as we're concerned, if you talk about widening Highway 17, it's the old adage of doing the same thing over and over and trying to get a different result. Widening Highway 17 is not going to relieve traffic in the area. All it does is gives a false sense of moving traffic, and then you have people who will want to develop farther up Highway 17. Building these frontage roads will improve the traffic, but will not give that illusion of traffic moving faster through the community. It is our belief that if we follow this suggestion that was given 13 years ago, that the problem will go away and there will be no need for widening Highway 17 and everyone will enjoy a better quality of life. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Next.
Harmon Todd, 1298 Laurel Park Trail. In regard to the All-American Boulevard extension, I'd like to thank the town for trying to help us come to a solution on, you know, how to make the connection or not make the connection there at All-American Boulevard. We've provided the town a alternate, which we think solves the problem for everybody. It gives the town their road. It doesn't require any commercial property acquisition on the side of the town, and it gives the neighborhood our cul-de-sac without the connection. Will it require a little bit of a redesign? Yes. Will it cost a little bit of money? Yes. But we're talking less than one half of 1% of the budget. And that's not something, a number I'm just kind of pulling out of the sky. I build roads for a living. I've built roads all over Charleston. I've built roads in Mount Pleasant. I've built neighborhoods in Mount Pleasant. I've built parking lots in Mount Pleasant. So I'm in a unique position to know how much this stuff costs, and to know that it can be built the way that we've proposed it. So we're not up here asking for a large donation. We're just asking for some help for something that really affects the day-to-day lives of our neighborhood. So please help us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Todd. Appreciate it. Next.
Good morning. Pamela Joanne Goldman, 704 Gatewood Drive. I'm here today to ask the town of Mount Pleasant to make the intersection at Old Village Drive and Center Street safer for all families by adding 3 crosswalks. The intersection is only 2 blocks from Mount Pleasant Academy. It is traveled daily by school-aged children on foot and on bike, as well as adult pedestrians. These children are not only going to Mount Pleasant Academy, but also to Moultrie Middle School, at staggered times. Besides the children who live in Old Village Landing, the intersection is crossed daily by kids in Saltgrass who access the road from the backside of Old Village Landing. There is only one crosswalk across Center Road. It means you have to cross traffic that goes into the Old Village Landing and also get to a blind spot here where there's some trees before you can actually cross. A lot of children actually end up going up this side against traffic going inside Old Village Landing, which again is problematic. There is a yield sign. However, this morning I walked my children across Center and had to wait for two cars to not yield before somebody stopped for us. People just do not, unfortunately, pay attention to a yield sign. I realize crosswalks cannot be installed in every intersection. However, ours sees an exceptional amount of foot traffic, especially from children. The mornings are getting darker, and my neighbors and I worry that it's just a matter of time before something happens. Clearly marked crosswalks will add a much-needed reminder to drivers to slow down, pay attention, and yield to pedestrians. I have included a petition that was started on Friday and contains the signatures of 70 local residents already. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Do we know, either staff or the resident, do you know who owns the streets in question, the one that goes into the neighborhood?
Old Village Landing is a town road. The rest of them are state roads.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that it, Mr. Chairman? Okay. Next.
Good morning. I'm Louis Seabrook, a civil engineer and land surveyor here in Mount Pleasant. I'm here to speak on behalf of item 8 on your agenda, which is a request for an encroachment permit for construction of a replacement dock at 101 Mary Street. This is a replacement of a dock that was removed and washed away during Hurricane Hugo. OCRM required that I contact the town to coordinate any requirements that y'all might have with regard to that replacement. And I'm willing and able to answer any questions that y'all might have once you get to that point on the agenda.
Thank you, Lewis. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Nope. All right, that will conclude public comments section, which brings us to item number 3, discussion of Highway 41 improvements and Brickyard intersection. We know this was a big item for lots of residents and stirred a lot of emotion, so I'll just turn it over and you can sort of give us an overview.
Yes, sir. It just really is a matter of an update to where we are in the process, and I say we, it's a county project, and of course town staff has a lot of input on the design process and understanding the analysis. So I've just put together some bullets, if you'll go to those real quick, of what has occurred. In August, the intersection design was released. County staff was asked to give a presentation to the HOA at one of their meetings on the 27th. That presentation was provided and really showed that concept design that had initially been released. And, of course, the purpose was to collect information and feedback from the Brickyard residents and how the current design could be improved. So they're doing that. This is I just note that this is the NEPA process, so there's a process for everything at the federal level for evaluating options, making sure that all options are reviewed that meet the purpose and need of the project. And impacts we look at, obviously, besides operational impacts, are the natural, cultural, historical, and the built environment. All those things get considered in the end when you have to make a decision on a preferred alternative. So there will be some additional meetings coming up, probably in November. Those haven't been set yet, but the team is taking the input that was received at that meeting, as well as just general input on the project as a whole, which includes the 41 corridor, to make any modifications before presenting those at those fall meetings.
Would this be, this is the meeting that was moved up to Palmetto Presbyterian Church because of the size of the crowd?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, correct.
All right. I think y'all were there. I think members of the committee were there. I want to see if y'all had comments or questions.
Well, I can lead off.
Go ahead.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, what they showed with the roundabouts and Brickyard and Hamlin Road, you know, none of the people who were there liked it at all. It seemed strange to me that they would take traffic and run it into a neighborhood and come back out in order to avoid a left-hand turn. And to me, it was very cumbersome. And, of course, the county was there, and their representative said that it was a non-starter. Senator Grooms was there and said it was a non-starter. So, I mean, hopefully they've gone back to the drawing board on that. I don't think if they were to do that, if the county were to force that, someone would be drawn and quartered over it.
Mr. Kinnick?
Yes, sir. I attended the meeting for a portion of it at the church there. And full disclosure, first and foremost, I have a property that I own. My office is in Brickyard, so it could theoretically be affected by this, so I want to make sure that that's out there on the record. I don't believe we'll be voting on anything. And it's not directly impacted, but it could have potential impacts with this. I think the sheet that Mr. Freeman handed us would solve a lot more problems than what the county came up with, which basically is a connector road that gives options, because what we need is options. The ability to go on another road when there's a traffic jam or a wreck or an event going on. If you can get to the other road, you create options. The double roundabout configuration that they came up with at Brickyard is odd, to say the least. But for all of us who sit on Highway 41, one of the biggest choke points is Brickyard and 17. So, you know, it's one of those scenarios where you have to be careful what you wish for, because they may come back and say, the only way to address this is to fly over Brickyard. And I doubt Brickyard's going to want a bridge in front of their entrance or an overpass in front of their entrance. So it's problematic. I don't know what the answer is, but I guess we're having it on our committee to just say if we like it or don't like it. I like the fact that we're trying to solve it. I don't like this proposed solution that they came up with. So thank you.
I would echo that and also say that I heard the chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee, who also represents part of Mount Pleasant, Senator Grooms, say that that proposed design would never get approved at the state level. And the chairman of county council, who lives in Brickyard, said it would never get approved at the county level. So I guess we should view that as a proposed, you know, first shot of a design, because I don't know where it's going to get approval. But I know the citizens, and it seems like every elected official that's familiar with it has opposed that design. So I think it sounds like they'll be going back to the drawing board. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions on that? Appreciate the update.
Mm-hmm.
Item number four is update on 17 Rifle Range Road Connector, formerly known as the Long Point Road Extension.
Yes, sir. I'll take that one. As you can see, there's most of the project information up there, as well as the schedule. We anticipate completing design in September of next year. That's about a year from now. I suspect we'll be done before then, because we're about 50% complete with the design. We're currently working on the wetland permitting packages that have to go to the Corps of Engineers, and we are trying to get on their pre-application meeting for October, as well as the Billy Swales project as well. And so that could slip into November, but the design is about 50% complete, and we're almost at a stage where we can start acquiring right away for the project. This project will require SCDOT approvals for the intersection changes at Rifle Range Road and US 17. That's kind of where we are right now.
Committee, any questions or comments?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I voted against this when it came up from the committee earlier because it kind of limits, again, the connectivity. To me, it seems like it's going to help people coming at people from this side of town that go to Home Depot will be able to jump on 17 and make a nice, convenient U-turn. It doesn't do much of anything for people north of that area. So it's really limited. It's a lot of money for a very limited use. And again, I'm going to point to Mr. Freeman's diagram, which I hope makes it into the minutes, because this proposal that George handed us would do a better job than what the town came up with. And sometimes we need to stop and listen. So I hope it could be extended. I thought it should be extended all the way to Rifle Range. Maybe one day it will be, but thank you.
All right. Okay, so let's move on to item number 5, update on Billy Swales Boulevard.
Okay, so there's a schedule up there and all the funding information. Design should be complete in August of next year. We're pushing hard to make that date. We have, like Brad was saying earlier this morning, we have two masters on this project we have to deal with, and that's the FHWA and the Corps of Engineers. We're trying to get on their pre-application meeting for the wetland permit with the Corps of Engineers. They've asked us to go and look at why a more southern alignment through the proposed park is not a viable option, and so we're addressing that. That would be the orange line, kind of through the park below the blue, is what they're asking us to look at now. We've already looked at why 17 can't be widened and why Rifle Range Road can't be widened. Now we're being asked to study this additional alternative in addition to the three that you see there.
That little orange,
yes, sir. Approximately, yes, sir. And so we have an approved park master plan, and we have County Park and Recreation Commission on our side with this project. So we just have to get our numbers together and argue that alignment away.
All right. Committee, Mr. Busa.
Yeah. You know, and I remember going back to before 17 was wide, and probably back to 2006, something like that. I remember one of the traffic engineers told us that our main problem was connectivity, and that widening, he actually said Highway 17 should not be widened because it would cause people to stop looking for ways to get across town. Chief makes an entrance there. because it would cause people to stop looking for ways to get across town, shortcuts, if you will, and it would cause stacking on Highway 17. Instead of being like this, it would just be like this. And he cautioned us at that time that failing to have some of this connectivity that we were talking about, the way we were agreeing to let some of the neighborhoods have one entrance and one exit, which forced all the traffic out onto Rifle Range Road, out onto Chuck Dolly and Highway 17. Is that still the case? I mean, from your broader perspective?
This facility will definitely help with connectivity, 100%. As well as the project you just saw, the extension of Long Point Road. Mm-hmm. So yes, it will definitely help. The traffic numbers that we look at, that we see, that are used for the entire regional planning show that Highway 17 needs to be widened, or it was widened, mm-hmm. and right. this facility needs to be constructed.
Okay.
So yes, it'll provide the connectivity.
So this, when Hungry Neck was initiated, it was thought to go all the way to Poche Bluff Road, and this is the center part of that, huh?
It's the last piece.
It's the missing link.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Mr. Knight?
Isn't it accurate that the more places you can get to and from 17, that's really what connectivity is on the road like this?
Yes, sir. And to your previous comments about Mr. Freeman's concept, that concept is in our mobility plan as far as a recommended project. And, you know, another thing to Mr. Busto's point about 2006, that's 13 years ago, right? Well, we've had a long-range plan. Most of the things, the biggest thing that holds us back from just going and implementing a plan all at once, of course, is funding. So, strategically, we have to choose which portions of the network need to be widened, improved, realigned, whatever, that new connections, those types of things. And in a perfect world, we do it all at once. We know we can't do that. So this is certainly a significant piece, as you're saying, to that puzzle. And we do not show the need for U.S. Highway 17 to be widened in whole. What you're seeing as far as widening up in the 41 section, essentially because, you know, as an analogy, you basically have two rivers, a confluence of two rivers. And that's why that pressure is on Brickyard, and that's why those unique solutions that they're looking for is try to free up that capacity. So there has to be some widening operationally for weaving and the bridge structure, those types of things. But back at the 30,000-foot level, it was this type of road and potentially, if needed in the future, to widen that Billy Swales / Hungry Neck corridor versus widening 17.
And have y'all looked out at the pressure that's going to be on 41 from across the river in Charleston, Berkeley County, and all that? And will this help? Will this help that once they start not start coming down once it increases?
Yes, it will. The numbers, when they say the numbers, the dwelling units, all the commercial activity on the Clements Ferry Road corridor are all considered in that regional model that we use for predicting traffic. We did see that we were not going to be able to address demand when we used what the Clements Ferry Road corridor was actually permitted for, to the Guggenheim track out there. At most, we see that being half of what they had been permitted for. So that helped us address the needs on the 41 corridor as well as in Mount Pleasant, because we are influenced by that. We will be influenced by that travel. So the one thing we did show was a connection, which is what's proposed in the 41 corridor that comes down Winnowing Way and connects to Poche Bluff to get to this facility, does alleviate traffic. If you did not make that connection, you'd have more traffic seeking 17 and therefore more pressure to widen. So that's where that design, like you're saying, is very beneficial to get people onto this network and create these connections.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Item 6, discussion with regard to incidents involving dump trucks on Park West Boulevard. Was this your item, Mr. Knight?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We had a couple of dump trucks flip over, another one recently on Park West at the Circles, and I just wanted to ask the staff, both police and transportation, what we can do about it. Obviously, we want people to slow down. As far as I know, they're just trucks flipping over, and the driver's really embarrassed. Nobody's been killed yet. The people that came in from Stockdale Street were talking about the same issue, just the trucks racing around and the volume of them, of these trucks. And I don't know if they're supposed to be on the road, if they're using it for a through road. Those are my questions. Just what can we do about it? Clearly there's an issue. I don't know how many there's been. I know of at least two or three where the dump truck just flips over on the circle.
Yes, sir. I'll let Lieutenant Carter address kind of the enforcement side of that. But from our perspective on dealing with generally residential construction, we have a couple inspectors that continually speak with the developers represented the contractors, and we continually have these discussions, even before we were talking about Stockdale, about them utilizing the 4117 routes for Carolina Park. And so we always we're always looking for those opportunities to influence them where we can, because we can't. Prohibiting truck traffic is another issue. So we have had a couple incidents. I believe they were. I'll let Pat get into it, but it was a driver error essentially.
Mayor, if I could introduce Lieutenant Carter. He's my commander of our traffic service unit.
Yes.
His primary function is traffic control and spine access and such things.
Great. Thank you and welcome.
Hey, sir. The recent one was on August 26th. I responded to that collision. It was a dump truck that turned over in the circle. They were doing construction in the area. We assessed that while we were out there for it, of if it was cut through or had business in the area. He was actually working a construction site, and so their crew came out for it. It was too fast going into the curve, and so we did cite him for that, for the reckless driving, for coming into there. And we've continued to do our efforts of traffic enforcement in the area. We just got a new trailer. It just showed up there last week, that we just put it up there last week myself, just to try to continue to collect data and working with transportation on the data in the area. And it stays as one of our primary directed patrols for the traffic team.
Good. Any questions? Anything else? Mr. Knapp?
I just want to thank you, Lieutenant, because I did see those efforts out there and ongoing. The funny thing, I follow a lot of social media with the neighborhoods out there, and a lot of the people who complained about the speeding are now complaining about the summonses they get.
So yes, sir.
That's a beautiful thing. You know, it won't affect me. I'm a New Yorker. I drive perfectly. but I actually find myself using cruise control because I know you're out there, and especially with the construction. I did see the trailer out there.
Yes.
There's not great signage coming into Park West as far as the speed limit. I don't know if there's something that either transportation or PD could do about that. There seems to be no sign, but maybe I'm missing it because I'm more attentive to the road than the side of the road.
Yes. Yes, sir.
So do you know how many dump truck accidents there have been?
We've had two. I went on both of those. The one was closer up towards Queensgate, and then that one was in the circle. This recent one in August was down at the circle.
So there wasn't
both of them.
There wasn't one in Stockdale?
I haven't had one on Stockdale that was reported. I know they talked about it in our meeting with that one, but it wasn't over there. They had pictures from the one that was out on Park West. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Stay safe.
Good job. Item number 7 is update on All American Boulevard. Just what's the history of the name of the boulevard? I love it. I just wasn't sure where we got it.
Okay. It was decided the road was placed there to honor some fallen military members of the community.
Great.
And there's a historical marker or marker indicating such. Right when you were to get off 17, you're going down, and right when you would turn right,
yep,
as if to go to the Mellow Mushrooming place,
right.
It's right there.
Oh, okay.
That's the history.
Well, I rode out to look at this, and I think Mr. Todd was here to address this, and I think just about everybody up here is taking a look, but we want to get a and I missed the marker somehow. I'd love to see that. But we want to get an update on where this stands and see what comments the committee members have.
Yes, sir. I'd be happy to do that. I won't get into the standard funding and all that, the schedule. Really, this issue is about design. And to get you up to date, in June, the committee directed us to go back to the neighborhood and talk about some different design options that might be palatable, really, for the neighborhood and as well the town also. So at that meeting, we discussed two options, essentially, which is to cul-de-sac the road further back away from its original alignment, because the cul-de-sac, as it stands now, is sitting in the middle of the right-of-way. And this goes back to 05, 06, when it was platted, and that's the way the neighborhood was designed for a full connection. So we're looking at other options. We looked at this option. And then one of our engineers came up with the option of an exit only, which is the option you see on the right in this graphic here. Since then, I think the neighborhood HOA and the residents have discussed their preference, and their preference is still for the town to realign the road, in a sense, around a cul-de-sac. So what you see here is a realignment and a moving of the cul-de-sac from that first graphic further towards the roads to have lesser impacts on those properties. You can see the acquisitions that would still be needed on those properties, and I hope those aren't Clemson colors, but anyway, in the orange and the purple or magenta. The first cul-de-sac design was just too impactful, and you could see that. It gets pretty close to the house, the previous design. So we did look at that. That is still their preference. As far as staff's preference, I guess, and what is the most favorable to the least favorable as far as options go, of course, we talked about before this, the most favorable would be just make the connection as it was intended. We don't see any huge attraction for cut-through traffic. Now, you can't negate that. You can't make that go away. So the second option would then be an exit only so that the neighborhood could exit but not enter, and they would not get people cutting through, at least in that direction. The third option would be the modification of the cul-de-sac without a shift, which has been determined by the neighborhood as too impactful to those properties. You can see how close it can get to the homes. And then the fourth, as far as our preference, would be what is the neighborhood would prefer us to us totally realign the project to this, which does include acquisition and impacts to the other properties. It's just with the horizontal alignment we have to get, this is what you would see. So our preference, I think, as far as an accommodation for both parties would be probably go to that option where you have an exit only. That's not theirs, it's not ours, but it's somewhere in between.
Committee?
Mr. Morrison, do you know what the cost factor is to acquire those lands? And
no, we have not looked at that. It's just basically
going from a zero cost factor,
correct,
to creating a cost factor.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Bishop?
Yeah, going back to what they want, the neighborhood wants, which would be like that, has the neighborhood said they'd be willing to participate in the cost of moving that?
We have not broached that subject.
Because that's commercial property that it would be going into, right? I still think the right out is better unless the neighborhood wants to participate somehow in the cost of doing this. And this gets to the whole thing of connectivity, and you know we keep shooting ourselves in the foot with neighborhoods having one way in and one way out. So I mean, my preference is, and I think there was a good discussion of it, of that having the right out. And but keeping the road going through, like I said, unless the neighborhood would somehow want to participate in that.
Like I said, we haven't had those discussions. We've halted, essentially delayed the design for about 3 months now to try to address this. And if that were the case, I think that would take more time to get into that, or they could have an answer right now. I don't know that they would, but from staff's perspective, we think that this is a reasonable compromise, and we're ready to move forward to complete the design.
Yeah. Which one, again, is the compromise?
The one on the right.
The exit only?
It's exit only, and you can take a left or right at that location.
So 2 or 3 years from now, after people are used to coming out of that, and then probably there will be a question, hey, why can't we use that to get back home? Yeah. Would we be able to adjust it should the sentiment change?
Yes, sir. We could.
So in other words, we're not eliminating, if we went with that compromise, we would not be eliminating the opportunity at some point to make it a full connection.
That's correct.
Based on input from the neighborhood, which
is what we're doing now.
Would probably be pretty nice. Yeah. Okay. Do you need an action of this committee?
We would prefer to have some final decision so that we can finalize the design. That's what we're waiting on, so that we can start the acquisition phase.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
May I ask the gentleman who spoke on this issue a question?
Absolutely. If you'd come to the lectern and identify yourself again, please, for the record.
Harmon Todd, 1298 Laurel Park Trail.
Sir, thanks for coming and thanks for all your time to put into this. It's always good for us to ask the people that are engaged in the neighborhood, not just living there, but the person who puts the time in to work on something like this. So thank you for your time doing that. What's your take on the write out, and what's your sense of the neighborhood's position on it?
I think the general consensus of the neighborhood is if there's a way not to make the connection, we'd like to do that. Obviously, the second fallback plan would be the exit only. But if I could go back to that third alternate that they drew right there, there's available space there that can be utilized. So, and the proposal that we've kind of drawn up does utilize that space better. So just, you know, I can send you the email with the drawing on it that kind of depicts how we can fit both of these in here without buying any commercial property, because it can be done. But along those lines, if it's all or nothing, then yes, we would go with the exit only.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions? That's all. Thank you. What's the will of the committee?
I'll make a motion that we go or direct staff to go ahead and do the write-out only option.
Which was, how did you reference it, option?
Call it the exit only
the
option.
Exit only.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So we have a motion. We have a second. The chair will second. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Here's what I'll tell you. We will, since we need to act today, we can do that. And yes, we will look at it after. Yeah, you can send it to all the committee members. I don't know if we've been given that before, but we will certainly.
I don't believe you have. But what I'll say to that is, I can't anticipate what is a acceptable impact to their properties as far as moving this cul-de-sac back and forth. Todd provided a graphic. We modified that graphic. He moved that our original design out 16 feet. And what we did is we tried to move it back without impacting these properties, the commercial properties. So we had to move it back about 3 feet. But you see the impacts of only moving it back 3 feet. So the bottom line is, I think you're going to have these commercial impacts one way or the other. And this is an engineer drawing. So this is using the proper design speed, horizontal curvature, et cetera, et cetera. So we wanted to show you as best we could what we thought the impacts would be.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion for the exit-only option, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
The motion carries by 2-1 vote. Next item. Number 8, consideration of request for an encroachment permit for a dock on 101 Mary Street.
Yes. Okay. This is coming to you simply because in our department we issue encroachment permits for town right-of-ways, and it's coming to the Transportation Committee for that reason. So we've never really dealt with anything like this before, but we would. We're seeking your guidance on whether to issue an encroachment permit or not. You heard that Mr. Seabrook said that OCRM is asking essentially the town's position on this. What you see here, and I don't have the engineering drawings, but you can see basically it's a proposal for a dock to come out of the corner of 101 Mary Street, which actually fronts up on Hibben, and extend out into the marsh. And we have had staff look at this, and there are some comments that mostly come out of planning staff, some from public services, but obviously this is the end of the street. The end of the roadway itself is short of where the actual right-of-way ends. It marsh starts. So this is really would be issuing a permit in a right-of-way, but in the marsh. But the concerns would be that it is in the view corridor. Privatization of right-of-way has been an issue in the past as far as how the residents feel about that. And the Old Village Historic District Commission does have purview on the design of any dock. And then, of course, there are some stormwater concerns. We do have an outfall at this location, and, of course, we have many studies going on in the Old Village about stormwater. And we have not, there's nothing proposed at this location yet. And I'll, if you have any specific questions, I'll let perhaps Hillary answer those. But, you know, it's always the potential for a conflict if we had to redesign. So if we did issue a permit, I think we would have that caveat that we, you know, the town's need for a design for a stormwater could cause any modifications of a future dock. So those are just the staff concerns.
Since there is a standing commission that oversees a lot of stuff in the Old Village and has authority, could we not refer this to them, ask them to do a deep dive on this issue? Because we also don't want to open up a Pandora's box of view shed encroachment and all that kind of stuff.
I think that's reasonable. We're just, whether it's direction from that committee or you know, back, you know, as a recommendation to this committee, we're just looking for a recommendation. We just didn't want to issue an encroachment permit of this magnitude at staff level.
I think it would be a good idea for the Old Village Historic Commission to look at it. They do a good job of being the stewards of our only historic district, and I guess it would be advisory to this because only we can grant the encroachment.
Yes, sir.
But they can look at it a lot deeper than we can in a five-minute conversation.
Yes, sir, and I'll be happy to coordinate with the planning staff to do that.
Let's make that a motion.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, and I'll make that motion. And I forget what street it was that was,
what's Ferry?
Ferry Street. And that was just over putting a park bench in the right-of-way. There was, it turned very, very ugly over the use of town right-of-way. And the thought was that someone was trying to seize that as their own. And it turned quite ugly. So I'll make the motion for this to go to the Old Village Historic District. But when it comes back, it's going to need to be looked at very closely.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion or any questions of Mr. Seabrook? Yes, sir.
The first observation, I look at the picture. We're talking about a view shed. I see a picture of, if my counting is correct, about six docks. And we're saying that this new dock is going to interfere with the view shed. You know, I find docks to be picturesque if they're built nicely and they catch the sun and they create opportunities for enjoying the view also. So I'm not really buying the view shed issue on that. But I'd like to ask you, sir, could you briefly get into how you landed where we are today? How is this your – is it connected to your land or
sorry,
is it on your deed?
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Is it on your deed or I'm missing something as to who owns the space?
Who owns the property that this dock will start from going out into the marsh area?
The property is owned by the Fair family. It, as I mentioned earlier, it had a dock that was washed away by Hugo. I'm not sure the committee is aware of this, but this is a process for six docks that was started with in the early 1980s and was actually put on public notice by then South Carolina Coastal Council, which is now the OCRM, requiring a dock plan for
for all six properties that are in this curve of the harbor. Brad or Paul, could y'all call up that drawing that showed the photo from the GPS, that one? All of the docks you see in this photograph, starting at the furthest left and going to the one that's just to the right of the blue line, were a part of a previously approved OCRM corridor plan for those properties. And I would also point out to you that every single one of them crosses the unopened and unconstructed rights-of-way of Beach Street, which runs from Haddrell Point all the way down to Hilliardsville, and then another several cross the unopened and unconstructed right-of-way of Bay Street, which runs from Hilliardville down to almost the Pitt Street Dock. So I'm not sure why that would be a different issue for crossing the Hibbins Street right-of-way in this case. If the committee's desire is to go before the old Village Commission, then that's what we'll do. Basically, they're just trying to replace what was there previously.
Any other questions from it? Yes, sir.
So if all these docks comply with that plan, then why would we treat, this is kind of an open question to anybody, why would we treat
the one
this seventh dock differently than all the other six that have already followed the plan? Just a matter of, I'm sure, over time, you know, that you go
and I'm not
decades to raise the funding to replace this, I'm sure. So
yeah. I'm not sure why OCRM requested that we coordinate this one with the town when they didn't request that we record the other ones, because we did those applications as well, because we did the my company did the corridor plan. But this is where we are, and so we're just trying to work it through the process and see where it goes.
All right. Any other questions? All right, anything else before we vote? All right, all in favor of the motion to have this looked at by the Old Village Historic Commission and then referred back to, I guess, this committee and then council, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that's where it will go.
May I ask a question? How often does that commission meet?
I would defer to staff, but I believe monthly unless there's an odd situation.
Is that something we need to approach them about, or is it something that approaches them about?
I think we
can arrange that.
Sending
yes,
it to them, so they need you, but do make sure you coordinate because you want to be there.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But we are officially sending it. You don't have to send it to them if that's what you're asking. Yeah. Thank you. Glad to clear that up. Okay. Item number 9, request from the City of Charleston for a letter of support regarding an amendment to the South Carolina Transportation Infrastructure Bank. This regards flooding on the Septima Clark Parkway project. I just wanted to make sure that council was informed of that and that we get an acknowledgement of council. I'm assuming staff recommends that we do this. It would not affect any infrastructure bank funding competition for the town of Mount Pleasant in any way.
No, sir. I can't imagine. No, I mean, it's usually taken on its own merits separately.
Right.
Simply a letter of support.
It would come from the town of Mount Pleasant, so I'd like
to... So moved.
All right, we have a motion. So moved. A second. Any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Item 10, ongoing projects.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just wanted to provide... hopefully what will be hopefully the final, maybe the final update for Coleman Boulevard. We'll probably talk about it some more next month, but the road is paved, and which is a huge milestone for us. It makes it look done. It makes it look complete. However, we still have a couple of traffic signals we have to install. The one at Farrago. We're still missing the arm there. And then the landscaping will be completed in October. And Dominion, I think, will be installing most of the lights and the medians this week. But they'll have a few lights that go in December. So we're in the home stretch.
A lot of people are glad to hear that.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you may.
Yes.
The pavement has been milled on Chuck Dolly. Is that part of this? Or
no, sir. No, it's not part of this project. The DOT told us that they have a micro-surfacing project ongoing, even though it just got micro-surfaced 4 years ago.
Okay.
So they have a thin lift project, and I guess the contractor started the work, started milling, and then discovered a drainage issue with a collapsed pipe is what I've been told. And that's all we know at this point, I think.
So it's just going to stay in the state it's in for...
Until they, I guess they have to address a cross line pipe issue. I think it's near the Hickory Shadows neighborhood. I think there's a big pipe that comes under Chuck Dolly there.
Uh-huh.
And
but we'll stay in contact with them.
Yes, it's kind of a mess right now.
It is, yeah.
Driving over.
Was it an aha discovery or an oops discovery?
I think it was an aha.
Okay. Good to know. All right. Anything else on these?
No, sir.
All right. Unless there's nothing else to come before this committee.
Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Just, I don't know if it fits under an ongoing project, but as far as those crosswalks that the resident spoke about, is there a program to evaluate and install crosswalks? Do we need to make a direction on that or anything?
That location's been evaluated a couple times over the last several years by the DOT. It is their roadway, so any crosswalk on that roadway would have to be approved by the department. As far as crosswalks in front of the stop signs, we generally don't do that for residential roads. It's not to say we can't look at it.
Do we need to have a motion, or we can just kind of direct staff, Eric?
We got it.
We'll look at it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the one last thing I had is the light at Faison Road in Central Park. Do we have a status on that?
We do. The developer is responsible for that install, and it's our understanding he's still going to pursue a temporary wood pole installation versus mast arm because that takes so long. We just met last week to finalize the design plans so that they could be sure that no curbs were going to move, and they weren't going to have to move a mast arm foundation, and which almost occurred at 17 in Faison, but we're going to be able to work around that. So I think now that they have an understanding that no curb lines are going to change, they can move forward with that. And I'll speak with their representative to try to get a better timeline and give that to you.
Yeah, if you could let me know, because the folks you know, the police department's done a great job of blocking traffic so that Oceanside, all those kids out of Oceanside can get out of there. And that's just turned into a real busy intersection.
Yes, sir.
With Costco and Oceanside and Wando. Thanks.
I'll send you an email on that one.
And your guys have done a great job getting traffic moving off Faison, but it's blocking a lot. Done a great job. Getting traffic moving off Faison, but it's blocking the line. Done a great job getting traffic moving off Faison, but it's blocking the line. Done a great job getting traffic moving off Faison, but it's blocking.